This morning I'm preaching in 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 6. I'm preaching about trusting God with what you do as you serve him. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 6. Now, in my years as a pastor, I've noticed that most seasoned Christians think they trust God. And of course they do. But I've also seen that there are areas in their lives that the trust seems to go out the back door. They're not consistent in trusting God. And I found areas like that in my own life. Now, you might recognize the same thing about yourself. Areas in your life that you just don't trust God as much as you would like to, or you should. Well, this morning, we're going to focus on an important area of trust, which should not go out the back door. And it's trusting that your Father in heaven wants to lovingly use you while also trusting that what you do matters in God's kingdom. What you do. Now, Paul recognized God's work in his life as he served God. And Paul knew it as the necessity. And Paul knew that God is always successful in his sovereign work. And this includes God's work of turning what the devil means for evil into something good. And Paul thanked God because he knew that with this truth, that God always leads his servants in triumph as they serve the Lord, that whether in thwarted plans, like in persecution, rejection, or harm which may seem like defeat, Paul said God's servants are always walking in God's parade of triumphant victory, that God's always leading at the front of the cavalcade. And Paul trusted God in the same areas that we all need to trust God. And we need to embrace it like Paul did. And Paul was so awestruck by how the Lord operates, using his people in the process of sharing his truth, that Paul asked rhetorically, and I'm working through chapter 2 very quickly before I read 6, he says, who's adequate for these things? Now, coming into chapter 3, Paul lays out principles for trusting God with what you do as you serve him. So listen to the passages I read. We're looking for these principles, 3, 1 through 6. Are we, that's the apostles, beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need as some letters of recommendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Now, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as ministers, as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Prepare your heart for this sermon. Trust God with what you do as you serve him. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to trust you in all things. We don't want certain things to go out the back door, especially trusting you as we serve you. You're our Lord. You bought us with a price, high price. We are saved, and we are saved to serve and to experience the wonder of salvation in all of its areas. So I'm asking that through this sermon, use me for your glory. Help us to be edified, to be built up, and to use these things in our lives from this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in our achievement-oriented culture, there is a biblical principle that can be very easily overlooked. And it's the apostolic revelation that all of us are insufficient in our flesh to serve Christ. And the reason for overlooking this reality is that so much in life proceeds along as if your talents and effort and practice to attain skill and strategy, extra energy, resolve are things which help you be sufficient to get things done. Lots of things are like this. You might be talented. You may be popular. And you might be a hard driver. Maybe you're ambitious. All of it seems like the formula for you to be sufficient in your flesh. But when it comes to serving the Lord, whatever you do is ultimately tied to God's enablement. Very important. His intervention. And even ordaining things. Things going beyond your natural ability. And there's something else on the road which can be overlooked. You can realize that you are insufficient on your part to serve the Lord in numerous ways, but instead of relying on him for sufficiency, you can shrink back from serving him, especially in the difficult times. But with God, your insufficiencies being givens just the way things are not meant to stop you in your service. They're supposed to be motivations to trust your Lord as you serve him. And so what you're doing is you're taking your realization of realities and you're turning to the ultimate reality, the God of all sufficiency, with the trust he wants from you. It's what you need, by the way. And so that's the direction. Serve him in that trust, doing things that you know you cannot do well, see, but will have great results from God's hand in it all. Now think about what Paul says here, that those he ministered to in serving the Lord, the people were like a letter that was written by someone. Well, Paul didn't say they were a letter written by himself. He did not say they were written by other people serving the Lord. He said they were a letter written by Christ, by God, by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's pointing to God's work in Paul's work. And yet it was Paul who was serving the Lord in the things he did for the Corinthians as he worked among them. He said he and those who served the Lord with him cared for all those people. They prayed for those people. They did things for them. And so there is a part that the servant plays. There's a part you play that I play. But Paul gives more. He said none of the servants were adequate in themselves to consider anything as coming from their own selves. Now that statement is a universal truth in God's kingdom. It is a statement about you. You are not adequate in yourself to consider anything as coming from your own self and serving the Lord. And how much you embrace it depends on how much your heart is staying in tune with God and his ways in our lives. Now, Paul's got the heart tuning fork. He's got it for us. And so he kept giving more and more details along this line. And so he pointed out that the Corinthians themselves were a testimony of God's action of using Paul to accomplish God's work. So Paul fully realized, he fully walked in the sense that he served the Lord with what the Lord was doing, which took Paul out of the picture when it came to the Corinthians being a living epistle written as God's work. It kept the author, see, filling the picture. And so the way to walk in this is to look at yourself in a deeper way considering yourself. Recognize that though you see the need, and though you see the biblical mandates to serve the Lord, and though you see that you have to do something, understand that something about you is not adequate in yourself. And that's your constant reminder. So instead of looking inward, keep looking outward, right? Rely on the Lord you serve as moving actually in you in whatever you do. And that reliance gets you to serve when you don't want to. When you think that you're not able to, even when you recognize how selfish and self-preserving you are, keeps you serving beyond your comfort zones. And what it is, it's faith operation, trusting in the one enabling to do things others think are impossible. And the sense in your own heart is that you know they really are impossible with you alone. Well, that's the point. But you also know nothing's impossible with God. And this trust, in a sense, is your secret power. You know, from God being the one who transforms lives to God working in you as you serve him and working in events and working in others who are also involved with what you're doing, trust God in every single detail. And if you get off sensing this recognition and trust, what happens is you start to walk according to something else. You're just walking according to your own self-oriented self. And when you walk from self as your perspective base, follow what I'm saying? Your base of perspective, that you're doing so according to yourself, everything is filtered through being about you. So, but self is tainted by sin, and self falls into wrong motivations very easily. It's got skewed ambitions, has wrong confidence and wrong fears, even in this whole subject called I'm serving the Lord. Self creates wrong standards of success. And at the top of the list, self makes lots of mistakes. And what comes from self has the fingerprints of self motives all over it. Solely in yourself, from yourself, you will think about things wrongly, even grace. Solely in yourself, you are a legalist. Solely in yourself, from yourself, you will call things sin. They're not really sin at all. Self is a standard bearer requiring others to fit into its own mold of what is right, what's acceptable. And the legalism of self will condemn others when it shouldn't. It will punish others when it should not. The legalism of self will also wrongly apply grace. It will have grace concerning things that God does not want to have grace with. Soling yourself from yourself, you will even say certain things are not really sin. Soling yourself from yourself, you will seek to serve God in wrong ways. How's that? Like from pride, like from selfishness, even from fear that God will reject you if you don't earn his favor. Soling yourself. Soling yourself, you will seek to get something out of serving the Lord, like money or recognition. Soling yourself from yourself, you would try to acquire what God has done as your trophies. See, to bolster your own personal accomplishments in serving him, like thinking fruits of ministry. For example, God's living letters are changed lives that you wrote by your own efforts. All kinds of religious-looking endeavors become competition centers for those operating solely from themselves. Self might claim the accomplishment is meant for God in love, you know, are meant for those people that your effort is applied toward. But solely in self from self, fruits of labor thought to be serving the Lord are seen as upvotes thought to win religious merit points with God and with others. Very insidious. This is the way of self. Solely in self from self, smug pride in your accomplishments lingers in a silent form of bragging that's both heard and hated by God. And one of the biggest and worst symptoms of self is that solely in yourself from yourself, you will think you are adequate to consider the things you do in serving the Lord as coming from your own self on one hand, while at the same time, you will think God's word is inadequate to accomplish all that God has said it will. You will ignore that God's word has already accomplished volumes beyond what you can imagine. You'll think that there must be some other way that it's more powerful than what the Holy Spirit's work is doing through his word to change lives and to direct lives. It's his word. And in contrast to a deceptive you, which is really just the selfish you, God's word keeps lovingly directing you to the right path. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. And the way this works is that what you have for serving the Lord is a work of the Holy Spirit according to God's sovereignty. And the foundational birthing point of all adequacy is found in Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so God's hand is flowing. Here's what it's doing. Jotting you down as you go along as a living letter of Christ written with the Spirit of the living God, as Paul says in our passage. And the Spirit is who gives you life, as he says in the passage. Without the Holy Spirit's continual work in you, you are merely yourself. If anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they're already out of this relationship. And they certainly are not serving the Lord. They simply exist in spiritual deadness. They may even be religious, but they're religious and dead. Now, there are people who claim to be serving the Lord, and they're not spiritually regenerated at all. And they don't have the Holy Spirit who gives life. They are not saved. And this problem has existed since the birthing stages of Christianity, by the way. They are people who do things as if they're serving the Lord, so they appear to others as if they really are. And like in Paul's day, you can find some of these kinds of people using a lot of Jesus language to describe what they do, and it can throw you off. And someone using Christian terms like you would expect a saved person to do seems like they're saved. They're talking like we do. But as they labor, talking about this servant category. So they're laboring, all right? They're doing. And they're spinning their religious wheels. They're not serving the Lord because they're solely in themselves from themselves. That key point. They're completely void of the Holy Spirit. And the whole life theater, it's like a life theater that they live, can seem like the real deal. But God knows what it is. It's just a lot of religious-looking activity, but not from the temple of the Holy Spirit serving God with his design, function, and purpose, and that's what you are. But then there's this actual calling, the actual calling to serve. Now, the calling is a real relationship with God in which he sets a seal on you. And the calling has the deepness. Your calling is all about nothing coming from yourself. See? It's the anointing from the caller, as Paul says, that your true adequacy is from God who made you adequate to serve him. That's the sermon. Learn that your source is who matters the most. God, who makes all things adequate, is the one you're tapping into at every moment in a connected, living relationship. It needs to be this way. And so look at your calling as being involved with what God is doing. Think about that. Meaning, you're meant to do what God wants you to do, but God's involved. Think of being God's servant. Think of these terms, serving, service, and serve. Think about what they seem like, but think of them as more than God standing someplace else. Follow what I'm saying. Think of your relationship with the Lord in the new covenant in this joining, this joined dimension. It's Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, your hope of glory. So, you know, serve, serving, service, minister, ministering. It can get you misunderstanding this design that you serve in a loving relationship in which Christ is the head, but you're a member of his body. You're not disconnected, see? It's his body, and you're a member of it. It's so important. Focusing on the serve part as action, as works, can get you distracted from recognizing that the Holy Spirit is the power and the leader in your life, going with you, empowering with you, while you are living and walking in a doing temple that he indwells, he empowers, and he leads within, see? But that's what God wants you to do, as you trust, as you serve. Know that, embrace it. And as you trust God in this amazing relationship, and you trust God in what you do as you serve him, very, very important that you also trust God in what he is doing. And that means in whatever happens. In your own inadequacy in which God makes you adequate to serve him, the fruits which come from you as he uses you are fruits he produces. That's why the scripture says it's fruits of the Holy Spirit. That word of also means from. Fruits of the Holy Spirit. So this is what Paul lived. Recognizing the fruit of his labors are people being manifested as a letter of Christ. See the connection? The flow? Written with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Paul's working. So is the Holy Spirit. So are you. And Paul asked a question, 1 Corinthians 3, 5-6. Back in the first epistle, 1 Corinthians 3. He asked it about this type of servanthood. And also another man named Apollos. Now Paul and Apollos served the Lord in Corinth. So Paul asked rhetorically, well, what then is Apollos? And what am I, Paul? And then he gave the answer. Servants through whom you believed. These same people he's writing the second epistle to. Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to each one of us. So put that label on your wrist and on your forehead. Say, I am a servant of the Lord with the work and also any results as the Lord gives to me. You are acknowledging God's sovereign interconnection at work in you. This beautiful relationship that you can miss throughout the day if you're not embracing the truth and walking in it. And the Spirit's fruits are always in the equation. So Paul said, people were the means through whom others believed. That's what he's trying to say in 1 Corinthians 3 with him and Apollos. Who are we? We are the means through whom others believe. But Paul wanted the bigger point to come out, that it's the Lord who gives to each one. So Paul says next, still in the chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. See how he always goes from the do of us to the doing of God at the same time? It's always the flow. And this is Paul's spiritual instinct. So let's just make up a new word and adopt it. We have a spiritual instinct here, okay? We need this. And that spiritual instinct that the Lord is causing fruits in your service, no matter how big you think they are, no matter how small either, that's what's so important about this, needs to be your instantaneous, continuous instinct. Keeps you seeing the real victory, by the way. Don't leave this revelation from God at the sermon or at the Bible study. God's word is telling you that this is more than a theological mystery, a doctrinal kind of a piece, or an interesting truth. This is the way of your calling to serve the Lord. Always has been this way. We're looking at the roots, the foundation. We're looking at the way they did it and the way they're teaching us by the same Holy Spirit. And so Paul continued with that instinct there in 1 Corinthians 3. And he said this, "So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything." But notice that there is a planter and a waterer. "But God who causes the growth." It's just making it clearer. Paul always says it this way. See, it's always more than you. It's a grander understanding of the joined relationship. Trust that God causes the growth. And then Paul recognized this so intuitively that he said next, that he who plants and he who waters are really like one person serving the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That it's this way because we are all God's co-workers, Paul says. That's the relationship for you to sense in your call. Intuitively see yourself as God's co-worker as you serve him. Yeah, you're serving him. You're working with him. He's the boss, but he's not detached. He's not uninvolved. He's right there with you, getting his hands and his feet grimy while guiding you and directing you at every step. And then Paul said that the people, the work focus of it all, 1 Corinthians 3 still, because this is what they were. They were the work focus, okay? He said that they are God's field and they are God's building. Very interesting pictures, but they belong to God. Well, so those people, God's field and God's building, are the same people Paul calls God's living letter in 2 Corinthians. So, God's field he cultivates, God's building he builds, God's letter he writes. All of these are ways of thinking intuitively, instinctively, while you're part of it. You are part of it. And that's what to trust. It's you, but it's you with God when you serve him. It's God making sure he gets his sovereign results from your servanthood. It's not you and maybe him. And maybe something happens. It's the same way with your own salvation. Paul said in Philippians 1, 3 through 6, that he thanked God for the salvation of the Philippians because God is the one to be thanked for it and not the Philippians themselves. So he said he thanked God. But he added this. He was confident of this very thing, that God who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Well, you won't complete it. God does. So Paul worked in serving the Lord. People were the work field. But God begins the work in them. And God makes sure it's complete with endurance. Next in Philippians 2, 12, Paul talks to you. But then he brings out the God connection. So notice when I read this, the you first, and then the God connection. Because that's the way it always is. So he said, just as you, it's you, just as you have always obeyed, that's what we're talking about, right? Serving the Lord. Work out your salvation by showing it outwardly with awe and reverence. Well, that's you serving the Lord, right? Now the relationship dimension. He said next, obey, which is still you, obey showing your salvation outwardly. But he says why? Listen to this. Because it is God who is at work in you. Wow. Notice that. Listen to it. Obey God in awe and reverence because it's God who's at work in you, both to will and to work for his own good pleasure. You talk about not being detached. And so this should motivate you to serve God on a whole other level of trust, right? He's there. He's in it. And so Paul said, and when I say he's in it, he's in all of it. Whatever it is. Even if you think you're not seeing anything happen, just put in front of all seed planters. All they see is planting the seed. They don't see the fruit many times. Many times, there's lots of people that serve the Lord. But God's always doing something. And so Paul says this, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. And he said that, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, right before saying they were not adequate in themselves to consider anything as coming from their own selves. But their adequacy is from God who made them to be adequate as ministers of a new covenant. So such confidence that you also have through Christ toward God is the same thing. And if you're like me, you know there are times when you consider just how small and inadequate you are. Well, then we think that way, right? If we do, we're in good company. Because this is the way Paul the Apostle understood things. You know, if you look in the scriptures, he always called himself weak. He called himself the chief of sinners. He said he was the least of the apostles. And here in 2 Corinthians, over in chapter 12, verse 11, he said that though he was not inferior to the other apostles, the ones who were being revered as super apostles, hooper apostolos, it was kind of a smart aleck term he used. He went on to say, though I'm not less than them, he said, though I am nothing. Paul the Apostle said that about himself, though I am nothing. You know, it's important to consider your own inadequacies in humbleness, real humbleness, so that you can clinch on to the recognition which comes only through Christ. And you know, this is really beautiful because it's a mystery. It's what God wants. God wants you to always be needy, grasping onto him. Okay, I'm going to go tell this guy about Jesus, I think, Lord. I don't know if I really am. Okay, I got to grasp onto you. I got to hold on to you because I don't want to do it in my flesh. The only way I'm going to do and see what you're doing, you're totally focusing on God, and he loves that because as you do that, it's actually a form of worship. And so when you do that, you'll have the confidence that you need to serve without inhibition. And you can flow freely with the Spirit according to his word. And you have such confidence through Christ toward God to take the steps in the first place. And it requires taking a step. But when you're clinching onto him, you're hugging him, you're saying, I can't do it, but I'm going to put that step forward because it's you. The very fact that you put that step forward is still him working while you're putting this to get you into that first step. This is the flow. It's relying on the Holy Spirit. And when you rely on the Spirit, your confidence is complete assurance that you have all the power you need to accomplish God's goals with you. Knowing all your sins are forgiven in Christ brings what? Confidence. Knowing you're not meaningless in Christ gives confidence. Knowing he's with you and what you do and serving him brings confidence. And there's so much, much to do. Sharing God's truth is just one. But it's in the context. And in Mark 5, we're told about a man who came to Jesus, and he was begging Jesus to let him go along with the Lord as Jesus was going around traveling and teaching in his pre-cross ministry. And instead of bringing the man along with him, Jesus told the man to share the simple good news of Christ that the man personally experienced. And so Jesus told the man, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. You know what that is? That's called witnessing. You're being a witness. And that's what Jesus said. Just go tell him how much he's done for you and how much mercy he's had on you. Why? Because you're the witness that God's using to tell who he is and what he's done. And when you have confidence, you can explain how much he has done for you and how he has had mercy on you too. So now what you are in doing this, now post-cross ministry, is you're a co-worker with him while he lives in you while you do it. You're a letter written, see? You're God's field, his building, and you can confidently be his co-witness. You're his temple, and you can trust that whatever happens as being a member of the body of Christ is God's will because you're trusting God with what you do as you serve him. You're connected. He's not detached. He's with you. And the big urging then in all of this is trust God with what you do as you serve him. Amen? Well, let's do that. Let's do that this week.